Sonics Reddit Podcast.
Back out to Smart. Fakes the pass all the time. Three. Bang!
Hits Williams screens. Bobs it up to Robert Williams.
Should he go? Taylor Brown.
Way to go,
Tatum. Durant, the long reach. Tatum crossover, pull up jumper. It's good.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit Podcast. Ben Vallis here. Thank you for joining us. Game 3, a complete and utter disaster, complete with the nearly comeback that the pre-January Celtics have stung us with so many times. Joining us to talk all about it, Jackson, aka Rickman Lives. Jackson, how you doing, sir?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Oh, well, I mean, not well. Today was an absolute disaster. Let's just get into it as a means of getting out of it to kick us off here. And this will be a short podcast because this is painful to discuss. Hopefully somewhat therapeutic to those listening. That's always our aim, our goal. Jackson, what exactly went wrong in this one? How is it that the Celtics can come out of that awesome game 2 victory and then just shit the bed here so hard in game 3?
This is a weird one. This is a weird one because there's
a hard question.
Yeah, you can look at stats on both sides of the coin here. There's a mountain of stats that suggest that we should have won. And if you think about it in a vacuum, you look at the free throw disparity. You look at the fact that, you know, we only were outscored in one quarter. You look at the fact that Jaylen Brown had a career playoff high in scoring. And if you told me that, you know, we were down 26 at one stage and then got it back to a 1 point possession in the fourth. Well, all that just says, of course, we're going to win. But then you have a look at the turnovers. The first quarter, you know, pretty much almost identical to that of the third quarter in game one. Yep. And then I think ultimately, though, if you're going to like nail me down on like why it went wrong, it was Tatum. Was garbage tonight. He was just straight up garbage. And like, you know, you can have bad games. Like, he had funnily enough, he had a really bad game, I think, against Milwaukee, game 3. He only had 10 points. But this was like a different kind. He only shot the ball like 4 times in the second half. So, I think if you look at the factors that I mentioned earlier, I think they more or less cancel each other out. But the Tatum stuff, I think, is unforgivable. And I think that's ultimately why this didn't go the way we hoped it would.
Well, yeah, and like he's the leader of the team, so there's this cascade down effect, right? Where it seemed to everyone in one way or another, seemed to have their feet in mud this whole game, and there was the turnovers. Just to get those numbers out very quickly, 23-8, obviously in favor of the Heat. The Heat had 33 points off turnovers. The Celtics had 9 points off turnovers. Dan Greenberg had a really interesting tweet, which I had here somewhere. Here it is. The Celtics, they shot better, 48% and 37% from three versus 46% and 33% from three than the Heat. They made more threes, 12 versus 11. They made 11 more free throws. They had 10 more rebounds. They tied in assists, but when you turn it over 24 times, none of that matters. Incredibly frustrating, which is very true and very painful to realize. I've seen way too many tweets, way too many posts about how the Celtics have won all the quarters in this series. Like, that matters. Like, you've got to win the fucking game, man. And they, you know, because of two really bad quarters so far in this series, that just hasn't come to fruition. Another quick tweet here, this time from Keith Smith. Says, I just rewatched all 24 Celtics turnovers, Keith. I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but props to you, I guess. Respect the hustle. 5 were on passes where the Heat defender who stole the ball didn't have to move. Pass was thrown directly to them. 7 were on live ball dribbles, and that's only half of the giveaways. And yeah, of course, that 39-18 first quarter there. Yeah, the Tatum game. Like, I suppose we should. Like, that's probably the most important thing, I guess, to pick apart from all of this, because he is, in a lot of ways, responsible for everyone else being bad. Was it, like, I'm just trying to figure out what was so bad about his game. Was it a, like, I'm checked out thing? Was it, I'm tired? Was it, we're so confident coming out of game 2 that we can feel like we can half-ass it a little bit? Like, what was wrong with Tatum?
Jay Spoons and I were on the playback room earlier, and if you're not, you haven't got involved in that, you must, because it's a great deal of fun, even in games like this.
Even in losses. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But he said, I can't remember the exact context of which we were, of the discussion that we're having. It was obviously about Tatum's, you know, horror performance, but we arrived at this conclusion of Tatum always has a bounce back. You know, he's done enough this season and throughout his career, but especially these playoffs, to earn the confidence, at least that I've got in him, that he's going to bounce back. I'm quite certain the next game is going to be gangbusters. I'm pretty sure of that. And that's what the great ones do. But the great ones also don't have these stinkers with such, like, regularity. Mm-hmm. And it's strange because... Game four against the Bucks last series. This is following the game three where he had 10 points. He had 30, but a lot of that, I think you'll find, was in the second half or at least the fourth quarter. Like, they were clutch buckets. So on one hand, you think to yourself, all he has to do is make a couple of extra buckets in the fourth quarter. We squeeze a win out, and then it becomes, this is what the great ones do. Even when they perform terribly, they still get it done. And it's a different, you know, angle completely. But he still has these bad first halves, like almost too often. And this is, again, we're going to put it like squarely on Tatum here. It's not fair to put it squarely on him, but, you know, he's got to be better from the start. The whole team's got to be better from the start. And, you know, he's got to take more than four shots in the second half. Like, even with that injury, the injury that he had, I watching it live when he came back, running back out, like obviously following the smart thing, it was like, you're like, oh my God, here we go. This is where it's going to come. But the more I think about it, I think he was just having a terrible game and just needed a few minutes to go and just relax and just sort of clear his mind and come out. And funnily enough, like, I think we looked pretty good while he was off the court. And when he came back on, it seemed to arrest the momentum a lot. So this is a bit of a meandering answer to what you were saying here, Ben. But I just think Tatum, I'm still believing it. I still think he's good enough to take us to a title, but like it is concerning how often he just doesn't like show up in the first half or the regularity in which these bad games occur.
Yeah, I am a pretty what am I trying to say here? I don't usually unfollow people on Twitter. Like, my threshold is pretty high for like getting frustrated and unfollowing people. When I do unfollow people on Twitter, it's when they say bench Tatum, you know, like their frustration with him gets to a point where they're like, you know, we should bench him. Like, you should never bench Tatum, right? Like, he's always going to have a positive impact. When he came back off out of the locker room from that shoulder injury or whatever it was, I was like, I don't know if we need you. Like, you know, like, get some work done, get some healing, get some treatment, and we'll see you for game four. And yeah, he comes back in. Who's to say what would have happened either way, but certainly had the best sense of momentum when he was off the floor. Which just goes back to the whole, like, the impact that he has psychologically on the rest of the team. If he's not feeling it, if he's not like in the zone, then that cascades down to everybody and they all play like that. Suddenly he's off the court and, you know, again, who's to say what would have happened, but it seemed like we had some more momentum there. There is a post somewhat related to this by Reddit user The Stoark, and they go on to say, the frustration with Tatum is warranted, but let's not forget he single-handedly saved our season a week ago.
Hmm.
To carry on from that, while there are no excuses for this performance, he is more than capable of bouncing back and leading us to the finals. Let's have some faith in our guy and let his performance throughout the rest of the series do the talking. In game six, he hit four straight clutch shots that saved our season. Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why he can't lead us to victory in game three and game four. I mean, you know, the obvious follow-up question, which you've already answered, Jackson, is like, do you believe he can bounce back? So I'll answer it myself. I agree with you. I absolutely do think that he can, only because we've seen it time and time again, especially this season, but also in his career. While there have been other elements that have made the Celtics underperform and be frustrating, Tatum's always been pretty solid with bouncing back, and even in the regular season, he's always on this sort of upward trajectory. So I see this as an anomaly, really, rather than anything else, and I'd expect him to bounce back. I hope that Jaylen Brown, just to move on from Tatum, can keep his scoring output going, because, and Van Gundy was really calling this out during the game, but he was doing a really good job of sort of penetrating and getting into the paint, but unfortunately had like a million turnovers. Even though he efficiently scored 40 points, like, yes, the shooting was efficient, but the game was inefficient overall. Thoughts on Jaylen's game?
He gets a pass for me, and like, you know, saying a guy that scores 40 points, you know, gets a pass is a bit ridiculous. But you're right, the turnovers were just were horrendous. I'm almost certain he had the same turnover at least four times on Victor Oladipo. And so he has the ball, he tries to go past him, two guys come in and close the gap, and then he just the ball just goes off, and then they're off to the races. And you know, a lot's been said about Jaylen's handle. It seemed to be improving. It seems to have maybe regressed back to the point where he, you know, coughs it up more than others. But, you know, it's not uncommon for him just to have games where he's a turnover machine. I think the Orlando game that he ended up having 50 with, or you know, whatever his career high is, I'm pretty sure he turned the ball over heaps of times in that game as well, too, if memory serves. So, yeah, cut the turnovers out. Again, like we put it on Tatum, but really, realistically, if you look at the entire team and you look at the turnovers that we had, you know, it kind of has to, the responsibility has to be shared. So yeah, like it's a shame that, you know, as his career playoff high scoring tally was sullied by what, seven turnovers did he end up having, or six?
Jaylen, seven turnovers. Yeah. Tatum, six turnovers. Al, like reliable Al, three turnovers. Tice, two turnovers. Smart, four turnovers. I mean, in a game where your team has a lot of turnovers, everyone has a lot of turnovers. But it's actually just the starters and then Grant with turnovers, and the bench came up pretty clean.
Mm.
Interestingly enough. All right, well, look, we're going to keep moving here because really we just want to like get through this and wrap it up because it's a fucking brutal game. We've got a little comment here to get to. Yeah, so user Champion of the Sun 5, this is in the daily discussion thread this morning, US time. They say, at this point, I'm over it. I was a believer and it's just led to frustration. Win, lose, I don't care. I'm over it. This team doesn't deserve any mental attention, which is... I don't know, right. Everyone suffers through fandom in their own way, but, you know, we're down one game in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, it's a little early for that, Champion of the Sun, but, you know, you're a Celtics fan. We love you. Jackson, did this feel like a particularly bad, like, vibes-sucking loss? Because I'm a little bit over it now, but it felt, like, in some ways worse than the Game 5 loss to Milwaukee. Like, it just, you know, if you looked at the betting odds, the Celtics were... more heavily favored this game than any game in the playoffs so far, at least on the betting website that I sometimes use. It just felt like such a given, and a little bit that I think fed into the way the Celtics played, but was just more like epically disappointing to you than other recent losses.
Hard disagree.
Okay,
I feel great.
Wow,
I really do. Like,
tell
that
me everything.
Wasn't ideal to lose Game 3.
No,
at
it
home.
Certainly wasn't.
Certainly not. But. Last series, we fell behind three times and won. If we go back to Miami at 2-2, then as far as I'm concerned, nothing really changes. You couldn't convince me that we were going to go back to Miami 3-1 up. I was quite certain that Miami was going to nick one. It was going to be split, and then the pivotal game, it was going to be Game 5.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this team has battled back through so much adversity. I can't abandon them now. There's just no way. What would have been made this the massive vibe sucker, if we want to go with that, is if that Marcus Smart injury ended up being real, Tatum injury ended up being real, and if we didn't even come close to mounting a comeback, let alone coming from 26 back to 1 point. Then I would be like, okay, this is bad. You know, now we're down. Now we're down, guys. Like, you know, for the long term, it's crunch time. We've really got to perform here. I choose to be optimistic in the fact that they're both they should be healthy. Maybe there's going to be some swelling. Maybe they might miss the next game or something like that. But they came back, and Marcus Smart came out of the locker room and hit a three.
Yeah,
you know, and at that moment, I was convinced we were going to win. You couldn't convince me otherwise, and it sucks more than anything that we lost a really epic, like iconic game of him coming back out after this injury that looked horrid. It looked really, really nasty. And for him to come in, and if we were able to pull that out, it would have just been remembered as, like, you know, the ankle game. It's like his Paul Pierce moment without any of the shitting yourself, you know, conspiracy theories. So yeah, man, I still feel fine. I still honestly feel fine. We've got our guys together. We showed character. We showed a lot of heart. Miami looked rattled as shit towards the end there. It took that Max Strus 3 to push it back up to 4. A massive, massive game from Bam Adebayo. And Kyle Lowry had, like, you know, that steal right at the end and made himself sort of put himself about. So, like, as bad as the loss was, I honestly, we were right there. We really were right there. So,
yeah,
no, I think we're fine.
Bam Adebayo also hit, like, a bullshit mid-range shot. Like, he might have hit a couple,
like,
but there was one
step in the three, yeah.
Yeah, and it just, like, he was heavily guarded, and it was just, you know, that stop would have put us in a really good position to finally take the lead. And there are a number of possessions like that. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, in terms of what you can take away from this to feel good, the comeback itself was messy. Like, it was laden with turnovers, and there were so many times, and Horford talked about this in his post-game presser, there were so many times where, like, multiple times where we had the opportunity to go up and we just kept turning the ball over and yet still clawed our way back to one, even though we were playing like shit. And yes, you could say a lot of that had to do with Jimmy Butler missing the second half, which we'll get to wrap up this pod shortly, because there are a few unconfirmed injury details at this point. But yeah, had him on the ropes there in some regard, and just couldn't complete it. But to be able to really play that badly all game, like, we played particularly bad in the first quarter, but we didn't feel like we were playing really well at any point in the game, and still to come back from such a deficit is promising. We'll talk about that Marcus Smart moment more in a second when we get to the good aspects of the Celtics game. What did you see differently from the Heat in this one? Because they obviously had some adjustments. What was different, or what stood out to you?
I think it begins and ends with Bam Adebayo.
Yes,
dude. Just from the get go, he was at it. And when Tice started as well too, like,
oh my God.
I didn't put two and two together at the start, but I expected him to have a good game and to reply. And as you just saw it happen in the first few minutes, it was like, oh man, this is rough. So I think the emphasis was definitely on to get Bam Adebayo involved more. I think Kyle Lowry, as much as he's a pest, you know, he definitely can bring. Like, dude's been there. Dude's won a championship. So he does have that sort of calming effect that he can bring to the team. And he, like I said, that crucial steal at the end, hit a three, like a pull-up transition three early in the game too. And it was just like, his presence alone, just like, if I was a Heat fan, I would have felt much better. Even with Jimmy Butler being out, with him being in there, would have been fine. But yeah, to answer your question, man, it probably begins and ends with Bam Adebayo, because he had an awesome game. And I think the Heat are just that kind of team that probably operate better when they've been written off as an underdog. They're the one seed, and, like, no one's talking about them realistically having a shot. And I think that's bad, bad news, because that's just going to give them fuel. And that's exactly where they want to be. So maybe now that they're considered rivals, it's like, oh, the Heat can actually win this. It's like, no, maybe not. But yeah, no, it's a response that I expected. I just didn't expect it to be so punishing to start with.
It was
anyway.
Punishing. It was potent and punishing. Bam Adebayo and our choice of, well, not necessarily our choice of defenders, maybe defenders that got switched onto him. Tice, Jaylen Brown, saw a lot of Jaylen Brown possessions defending Bam Adebayo. The Heat did a really good job of hunting Jaylen there. And Adebayo is not Pascal Siakam in the bubble. It's a different beast entirely. That was painful. So many painful possessions of Bam just, like, feasting on little matchup underlings there, which was just nauseating from the Celtics fan perspective. And then, Lowry and Adebayo, and sometimes other ball handlers other than Lowry, spamming the Bam roll man pick and roll, which it just seemed like we didn't have an answer for. We tried a few different coverages there, and particularly when Kyle Lowry was the ball handler, you know, if we chose to drop back and make sure we stuck with Bam, Kyle Lowry is just so good at navigating the screen from an offensive perspective. He's pretty good defensively as well, and determining, like, the shot that the coverage is going to allow him quickly, and then taking it. And you know, he lost his legs towards the end of the game and he was missing some shots that he typically makes, but he's just so good at like knowing the best shot that the defense allows and then taking it. And he was killing us with that along with Bam all game. And then lastly, from the Heat perspective, zone defenses, which are pretty, you know, typical for the Heat. But we didn't see a lot of it earlier in the series, and they were throwing a lot of zone defense at us throughout this game. And it just feels like, and maybe this speaks to some lingering immaturities with our team, but it took us like a few consecutive possessions to be like, oh, zone. Oh, yeah, okay, we know how to attack a zone. And then they'd have like a possession or two of like shredding the zone and like passing the ball, moving it, getting it to like maybe Al, for example. He had a few good possessions there in the middle around the free throw line of catching the ball and either shooting it or making the extra pass and like shredding that zone. And then they would just go away from the zone and it's like we're sort of back to square one. I think if we can identify the zone more quickly and get into what we know works against it, that might benefit the Celtics. Obviously would benefit the Celtics, but they were just too slow to sort of navigate you know, the different defenses that the Heat tend to throw at you, while the Heat were really good at shuffling those defenses. So to credit to them. Enough about the Heat. There were a few good things that the Celtics did well in this game. Let's talk about that. We touched on the Marcus Smart return from injury. It's a shame it's going to be diminished by the loss. Hopefully, like, we win the series and it kind of becomes part of the championship DVD, Jackson. But like, one thing I noted, it's obviously the injury that happened. That was a combination of the ankle roll and then Lowry landing on Smart to just sort of hammer home the severity of the injury. And then, you know, we think he's gone and, you know, Derek White, hopefully he can like, you know, hold things up, even though he's probably on no sleep because he's just, you know, him and his wife have just had an infant delivered into their lives. And then you see like it cuts to the locker room, right? This is in the game coverage and it's Smart. He's like running through the hall and you see like trainers like chasing after him. And I'm like, well, hang on, is he trying to like ill-advised run back out into the game while the trainers are like, no, like you're not ready. But he comes back out, you know, gets into the game. He hits that three. And so Jackson, at that point, you were convinced that that was the momentum shift needed for the Celtics to win the game?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely got caught up in like, you know, the heat of the moment, pardon the pun. But I think a couple of plays after that, he had a really bad turnover too. He just like threw it to Tatum in the backcourt and he just was nowhere near him. So I was like, okay, yeah. So maybe he's not totally back yet. But it was an amazing moment. If Smart went down, like, even though our record's been okay without Smart. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I remember he sat out maybe a couple games and we've looked okay. But yeah, if you rule him out like altogether, like that just would have been, that's the death knell as far as I'm concerned. So to see him come back and to be in the mental space that I was, it's like if Smart's like, you know, has broken his ankle or something and that's him for the playoffs and that's like potentially career altering, you know, I went to a very dark place. Like championship was the last thing in my mind. I was like, oh, there goes that. How does next season look like? What, blah, 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 blah. To see him come running back out and to hit that three and then to like play, you know, pretty well after that, it really did sort of put this loss into perspective and think, okay, we've still got Marcus, you know, he's still available and you can tell, like, you can't accuse this. I mean, you can definitely accuse this team of being soft at times or being like immature or whatnot, but you can't say they don't have heart or they don't care, because Marcus Smart it absolutely embodies that. And to see him come out after, you know, taking that kind of injury and, you know, performing, and to see the crowd react to it, like, it kind of gives me, it's almost giving me goosebumps now just thinking about it. So yeah, again, a shame to ruin that, like, you know, what potentially iconic moment. But yeah, I think a series win would still do nicely
commemorate. And dealing with the mid foot sprain there as well. I'm not sure if it's the same foot or if it even matters, because it seems like a sprain of a different part of the foot. But you almost hope that it's the same foot, so it's like still got one good foot.
Just, yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
It just keeps getting stronger with every like sort of knock it takes after. Yeah. Until it's basically concrete.
But speaking of wasted performances, Al Horford 20-14-3, 7-14 from the floor, 3-5 from three. Mm. He was incredible. He had some really good timely corner three-point makes as well.
Yeah.
And was just solid. So I would put that down in the list of the things the Celtics went well. But the final thing I had in my notes for the good things was the comeback, like, question mark? Because, like, was it good? Because, like I said, they kind of sucked throughout the comeback. So, I don't know. Like, did you Did you think it was real at any point, or was there something else that stood out to you during the comeback that you thought, like, this is really good?
Yeah, like, I felt the offense was definitely disappointing and, you know, streaky and whatnot. But, man, after that first quarter, the defense was proper. It was proper. Mm-hmm. Like, I was complaining to Spoons and Joe on the stream because I think the Heat scored for, like, 3.5 minutes, and we only managed to take the deficit from, like, 26 down to like 20, and I was like, this is we need to be capitalizing on this, you know, because sooner or later they're just going to hit a bunch of threes, it's going to be 30, and then it's going to be lights out. But yeah, despite the offense not turning up, the defense appeared to be locked in. Like, you think about, like, the daggers in this game, it's like it's their turnovers and they're like ridiculous, like timely shots. The Bam Adebayo one, the Max Strus one. There was some ridiculous shit that Kyle Lowry just throws up that looks like it was an air ball and it just bounces in. So there were just moments like that that didn't bail the Heat out. The Heat definitely deserved to win this game, but like our defense really was properly locked in, and it was only because it was locked in that we were able to get in a position to nearly take him out. So the defense and Smart's health, you know, together in tandem is still a massive positive. And that was, you know, definitely that was a crucial piece of the comeback. But I think that bodes well for the rest of the series too.
Yeah, I think I can't add anything else to that as far as what the Celtics did well in this game. Like, it was, I'm sure there are things that were done well, but this is where, like, you need to go listen to, like, Corrales or someone who properly analyzes the game professionally, because it's difficult, you know, to have positive thoughts after a game like that.
True.
But, you know, hopefully we can have a real, you know, positive comeback and a real happy podcast after game four. And, like, credit to the Heat, they were really good, especially in the first half. There's a reason, at least for half, well, I can't even say for half those turnovers, but for a lot of the turnovers in the first quarter, at least, you know, the Heat forced a lot of those. And even if they weren't technically forced turnovers, like, they were, I guess, encouraged turnovers by the Heat. Like, they were really everywhere. Turnovers. Suggested, implied, inferred. Like, they were in still a lot of ways responsible for them, just in the way that they were hustling and sort of out-hustling the Celtics. We've already gone way over our pre-recording agreed 20-minute mark, Jackson. Game four. Where does this game rank on your must-win scale? Like, it's not quite Game 6 Bucks, but it's like it's kind of up there. You've got to factor in that this is the conference finals and not the conference semifinals, right? Like, where does that sit with you?
Yeah, it's a 9 out of 10 must-win. I wouldn't... If we did lose it, I mean, I would be compelled to sort of give up hope. You know, I never will really give up hope, but it would be... I almost wouldn't watch game five. I think I would just check the scores, and if we were up, I'd be like, oh shit, okay, it's real. But yeah, it's absolutely crucial, honestly, because, you know, you win that game and then you are back in the position where you've just got to beat Miami on the road once.
Yeah,
obviously
exactly.
We have to win it at home as well too. But, and again, like, we seem to be better on the road than we seem to be better at home. So again, I don't think it's... The position that we're in now is obviously disappointing, but I struggle to say fine, but, you know, I think we're okay. I'm going to go with okay here, but yeah, if we don't come out with the same intensity, or if we don't try and return serve and we fall into another, you know, 20 point plus hole, or even, you know, even if the turnovers are half as bad as they were today, yeah, it's going to be curtains. So we need to see the team that we saw in game two and in game six and seven against Milwaukee, rather than, you know, this drag.
Yeah, like, game sevens are their own entity where anyone can win just through some sort of anomalous performance or whatever it may be. Game fives, when you're down 3-1, are just that. They're like basically elimination games, almost a formality, you know, like, so it suffice to say, we need to win game four and go back not only tied, but with the last hurrah at that point, right? Like, some momentum where we can at least go back to Miami, play a road game, knowing that we just beat you and therefore have a chance. And worst case, we go down 3-2. Hey, at least game six is on our home court. So it's a must-win game. Probably a good place to end this. A comment from I'm De King Sama. They say, no reason to stop believing in this team. The way they won the Milwaukee series and turned the season around has earned that trust. And they're also clearly the most talented team. Sure. I mean, it's true, but I just feel Anyway, I won't expand on today's evidence.
No,
we're running out of time. Yeah. In the big picture, the series is only 1-2, and we walked away from that game with no serious injuries, we hope. At the same time, fans have every right to be incredibly fucking frustrated because as much as the team bounces back, they decide to shit the bed and shoot themselves in the dick as often when it comes to not to do or die. I'm just reading this. I don't know if that's if that made any sense. That's playing with fire, and it could so easily come back to bite them. Until it does, we have to keep believing. But goddamn, if they could just be a little less of a roller coaster.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else to add on that, Jackson? Before we wrap up, I think we've pretty much said everything, right?
No, not at all, man. I expect a bounce back. I expect a game four win, and I'm still believing.
Yep, got to go with the win prediction for game four, right? Like, how could you say anything else as a Celtics fan? But also, logically, it makes sense that they would bounce back and respond. All right, that is going to do it for this one. Thank you for joining us. Can't blame you if you didn't, given the situation and the terrible vibes coming out of that game. We will be back after game four and, of course, during game four on our playback stream, details for which are in the show notes for this episode. Jackson, you had your first playback stream experience today.
Yes.
How'd you find it?
Awesome. It made the loss palatable because I was suffering together with some legends.
Right? Yeah.
not just co-hosts of this show, but also the guys that we had in the chat room and watching along with us interacting. It was so much fun. Definitely. If you don't want to listen to Mark Jackson say "Mama, get there goes that man" for the 18,000th time, and you'd rather listen to us dickheads talk about the Celtics, I encourage it because I had a great deal of fun, and it's an awesome platform.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much fun, and like you said, it makes the losses tolerable, and it enhances the wins even more so. And it's not a watch party; it's not watching us watch the game. The stream of the game is actually in the platform. You just link your subscription, League Pass or Comcast or whatever you've got with the platform. It's totally free. Watch the game. We're in there with you. We're doing it together at this point because every game is a struggle, whether it's a win or a loss. All right, well, Jackson, love your work as always. Looking forward to reconvening after a game four win.
Yes.
Until next time, go Celtics. Peace.